Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Jonesy actually just be joining me in a couple of moments here. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight with a big victory over the Boston Celtics, 86-74 the final. DeMar DeRozan, 21 points in the ballgame to lead all scorers, 17 points, 14 assists, and zero turnovers in the ballgame for Calderon. A huge performance overall for the Raptors as they get one against the Celtics, Jonesy. For the first time this season, it was a big, big win for the Raptors considering the way the two previous games went in Beantown.
They did a terrific job tonight, Eric. We talked about it on the floor. Offensively, they did a nice job in making shots. Defensively, I think their resistance was consistent against Boston. And I thought they did a terrific job all night just holding Boston at arm's length and doing a nice job for the win.
Again, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Some technical glitches all worked out here, folks, just at the beginning of the show, so we're all good to go now. The phone lines are open, and they will stay open until 11 o'clock tonight. Kevin Garnett, 17 points in the loss for the Celtics. And you mentioned during the broadcast, Jonesy, at one point, Rondo was upset yesterday when finding out that he wasn't going to be on the Eastern Conference All-Star team. And a lot of people basically, and including Doc Rivers, saying, go out and prove it then and go out and show it.
Yeah.
Well, decent game, I suppose, last night overall in spite of the dramatic loss to the Lakers. But tonight, Rondo struggled mightily. 5 points on 2 of 10 from the floor, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, but 5 turnovers in the ballgame as well. And it wasn't until late in the fourth quarter where he really seemed to kind of find some space on the floor, getting to the hoop, trying to suck in the defense, finding, you know, little drop-off passes in the lane and whatnot. But Rondo just did not seem to be himself for a good chunk of the evening.
No, and I thought, Eric, there were times in the game when he was trying to be maybe a little too cute, maybe trying to do a little bit too much. Look, I thought the Lakers played him well last night in trying to make him a shooter. And you look down at his numbers tonight, he was 2 of 10. I thought Toronto did a nice job of, I don't know if, you know, goading him is the right word, but convincing him that he was open enough to have him take, you know, 6, 8, 10 shots. And when Rondo's got more shots than Ray Allen, more shots than Brandon Bass, more shots than Kevin Garnett.
Well, more than anybody other than Paul Pierce.
That's a good sign for your team.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Again, the Wrap will be on the air until 11 o'clock this evening. And, guys, I'm still just trying to get things fired up here right now, so if you can tell me where we're going first, we will head that way as we go to the phone lines. Chris in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Chris.
Hey, what's up? I'd like to start by saying big win tonight for the Raptors, and they played a hell of a D out there. You know, they had the Boston Celtics in a slump, but DeRozan, I'm loving the way DeRozan's playing right now when he's going to the rim, you know. He's slashing, going up there. I think we need a lot more for him, you know what I'm saying? And we can win a lot more games if he keeps going to the rim like that, because he has a lot of people. And, you know, he gets the foul troubles and stuff. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, when he keeps going to that rim, we're very explosive is what I'm trying to say. Like, and I feel we can win a lot more games. And, yeah, so what do you guys think about that? And another thing I wanted to ask was, what would you guys think about Barbosa in the starting lineup?
All right, thanks for the call, Chris. Look, DeRozan going to the hoop is a definite formula for success. We've talked about the numbers. It makes him aggressive. It puts the other team back on their heels. It opens up that rebound, the mid-range jump shot, and just all the little things, and it starts by being aggressive. So no surprise there, and that's a great point in that when he is aggressive, it gives Toronto more of a chance. Look, we've talked about this in terms of the starting lineup. When you bring Barbosa off the bench, you are changing the pace of the game. And he's playing against second-unit players and guys who don't have his experience. Remember, this guy's a former Sixth Man of the Year winner. He's been in the league for quite some time. I think that's something you want to hold as a kind of an ace in the hole, a card in your back pocket to play, something that you can do to change the game. He could be a starter, but I kind of like the role that he's in right now for Toronto. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't play starters' minutes. He played 26 minutes off the bench tonight. That was more than, you know, that's about the same as more than one of the starters and about the same as James Johnson. So he can play starters' minutes. I just like the role he's in right now.
Well, and here's the other thing, at least the way that the team is constructed right this very second. Let's even include the Bargnani and Bayless injuries, okay? Who's he going in for?
Right.
Because if you were to go with the smaller lineup, Jonesy, perhaps that's where it fits if Amir Johnson is your five and then you've got James Johnson playing at the four. But then do you want to slide DeRozan back over to the three, thus putting Barbosa at the two? Or would you lean more towards putting a little more offense on the floor with Klaza at the three, keeping DeMar at the two and Jose obviously at the point? Or even going with a guy like Ed Davis at the four, Amir Johnson at the five, and keeping James Johnson where he is at the three? I just don't see that there's a spot. I think it worked with Bayless because we're still not sure if he is a true point guard, but he has enough skill to handle the ball and guard other point guards on the opposing team. Barbosa is a decent defender and a decent ball handler, but he's definitely, to me, a two guard that I'm not necessarily giving the ball to a lot, and I'm not having him guard the other team's top guy, especially if we were hypothetically to look at tonight.
I'm not
going to put him on Rondo as I would have with Bayless. And tonight the Raptors, in a sense, rolled the dice because they had no other dice to roll. Calderon, you got to guard him. And Jose had a hell of a game against Rondo this evening.
I think with Barbosa, it's the decision-making and distributing at the point or in the starting lineup that you worry about. Hey, you don't want a guy too thirsty in the starting lineup when you've already got people on the floor like DeRozan. You got Calderon, guys that can score. Save that for the bench.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Alex in Scarborough. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Eric?
Good, Alex.
First of all, thanks for the retweet, by the way. I'm Alex Rodriguez at Twitter. You made me laugh on that Lithuanian thing. It was really funny.
Thanks.
Just wanted to comment on the overall play of the Raptors today. DeRozan, he was getting to the rim. He was actually getting calls today. I was really happy to finally see the refs give him some slack. He's been working hard in there. I know he's been struggling this year, but at the same time, I know he hasn't been getting the calls. And I liked today was one of the first days in a while that I saw Calderon really be the general again. Last time I heard, he had 17 points, 13 dimes. I don't know if he improved on that, but
he finished with 14 and no turnovers.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's what we need from Calderon, right? Especially with Bayless out. But all in all, awesome performance. I couldn't ask for anything better. And I'm always getting frustrated with the media and just because I don't like the word tank. We all understand that they're not the greatest team, but I want them to have the morale to win. You know, I know they're not going to make the playoffs and the draft is deep. So let's have them win a couple more games.
Hey, thanks for the call. I'm with you. We talked about it. That word should not exist. Tanking, playing for a draft pick. You go into that locker room and Eric and I have said it. Go talk to some of the vets, Barbosa, McGlure, guys that have been around the league, Rasul Butler, Anthony Carter. They didn't come here to play for next year's team and a draft pick. Those guys have come to win, play to win, and be good examples for the young guys. We talk about changing the culture. When you change the culture with personnel, with philosophy, with the look of your team, you also have to have some winning in there to reinforce that culture change. Winning is part of the culture change too. So I agree with you. I don't like the word, and I don't like the fact that people talk about playing for next year. When you talk about, Barbosa, we were talking about Barbosa in the starting lineup. There's another guy, Eric. He's been on winning teams. And think about it. We talked about his body language earlier in the year. He doesn't like to lose, and you can see that from him. We'll take a break and come back with your calls here on The Wrap. Toronto Raptors defeat the Boston Celtics 86-74. breaking a 5-game losing streak to the Celtics. You're listening to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Phone lines still open, folks, and they'll be open this entire hour at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight knocking off the Boston Celtics for the first time this season, for the first time in five games. Well, technically six, I guess. They snapped the five-game losing streak and win tonight. 86-74 the final. Toronto improving to 9-19. The Celtics falling to 14-12, and they've lost two in a row now following last night's dramatic loss to the L.A. Lakers, and now again tonight against the Raptors. The Lakers winning last night in Beantown, tonight in New York, and last I saw they were losing to the Knicks. We'll get an update on that shortly, but the Lakers come out of town on Sunday, 1 o'clock tip here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with a 12:30 pregame show with yours truly and my man Jonesy as well. 12:30 again pregame show and a 1 o'clock tip. Knicks leading the Lakers 64-56.
And Jeremy Lin has 75 points.
Well, Jonesy, he's 9 of 15 for 26 points. He has more than a third of the Knicks' points. And listen, quickly just to step aside from the Raptors for 1 second, because as we always say, we can talk about tonight's game, we can talk about the season, we can look into the future. Any issue, any topic is up for grabs, and we get into other NBA stuff as well. So I know there are a lot of Linsanity fans out there. And I have said numerous times on Twitter over the last few days, I am not anti-Lin. I'm not dogging the kid. I'm not criticizing him at all. I'm simply saying it's three games, and now tonight it's four. Let's just chill a little bit here. It's four games. That said, how do you silence your, and I don't even think I'm a critic. I'm just a realist about, let's just kind of calm down a bit. But how do you silence your doubters or your critics? You continue to play well. You continue to play at a top level. And at some point, me, you, others that aren't yet giving him his just due, at some point have got to stop saying, well, it's only four games, it's only seven games, it's only 10 games, it's only 15 games. So, yeah, let's see what happens in the next four and the next four. But
yeah,
right now,
he's playing well, hey, but let's not get carried away.
Okay, and I get that, yeah. But I am giving him a little bit of love in the sense that, Jonesy, it's not like he's going 15-7 and 12-8 and 20-12. It's been 20-plus,
yes,
and 7-8-plus. Again, only three games. But, I mean, he's putting up some huge totals, and he's doing it again tonight against the Lakers. And could this be another point guard in a D'Antoni system getting an opportunity? Maybe, but it's not necessarily a point guard in a D'Antoni system based on the fact that he's scoring a ton. Yeah, he's got the assist totals that are rising a bit, but the dude is going off for 20-plus.
He's playing well. That's all I will say right now. He's playing well. There is lots of time to see what he's made of. 4 or 5 games does not a career make, but let's make sure that the kid is actually legit. He's playing well. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but at the same time, as you said, it's 4 or 5 games. It's not a career. Let's see what happens when it's all said and done. I mean, are they going to trade Carmelo Anthony and roll with Jeremy Lin? No. So
I don't think anybody's saying that, though.
No, but I'm saying, but there are people out there. Oh, like, let's not get carried away. He's playing well, but it's 4 or 5 games, okay?
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Phone calls right up to 11 o'clock. Raptors 86-74. Right now we go to Alan in Richmond Hill on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good, Alan.
Good. Big win for the Raptors tonight on a big team, eh? And DeRozan with 17 points and driving to the rim. Drawing fouls were really good, adding to our leads. DeMar DeRozan passed to Amir Johnson for the dunk. We had some... We also had some great defense from Joe Johnson and Jose Calderon. Joe Johnson, great defending, blocking on the Celtics while they were driving. Calderon played really good on the defense in the fourth quarter, where stripping the ball off Paul Pierce. Clay's draining those threes at the end were really good. They just put the game for the win. I really like the way Dwayne Casey is actually putting the Raptors together as a good team. When they're losing the lead, you know, it's good. So if we could keep this up, it would be great, and we could get the spot in the eighth. You know.
Well, thanks for the call, man. I'm not so sure they're headed for eighth. I mean, it would be great to see them get some playoff experience. But at this point, I think it's a game at a time. And, you know, we got excited. We saw people get excited after, you know, the first couple of wins and you know, the win on the road in Cleveland. And Dwayne Casey keeps cautioning there's a long way to go. He wants people to maintain an even keel. Not get too high after the wins, not get too low after the losses. You know, his mantra, pound the rock, just kind of keep going out there and giving what you have, and eventually there's going to be a breakthrough. I think that's the best way to think about it. You can't get, you know, crazy excited, and you can't get down in the dumps either way when there's a win or a loss.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cell. The Raptors get their first victory of the season over the Celtics and their first victory of the season when both Bargnani and Bayless are not in the lineup. Bayless sidelined tonight with the ankle injury. Andrea now has missed, I believe, 14 games. It was 6 the first time, and he's now 8-plus rolling into Sunday with the latest setback after re-injuring himself in Utah. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, Star 590. On your cell. Ahmad and Guelph, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Awesome show, by the way. Just a quick point with regards to you're talking about tanking and purposely losing. I don't think, per se, people want the Raptors to lose, or the true fans who want us to grow organically through the grass and whatnot to lose purposely. But I think the point is, give the younger guys a chance. You know, people have been saying, give Bales a chance to start. Give Dave Johnson a chance to start. See what the guys can do, Solomon Alabi and players like that, and see what they've really got. If it happens, you lose, you lose. But, I mean, the focus should be development. I like how, you know, Pound the Rock's been going so far with the intensity and defensively what Casey's brought. But I think the whole point about people who are pro-tanking is, you know what, let's give the young guy the shot. DeRozan, how he's doing right now, give him the ball, but let's see how he does moving forward. So I just want to see what you guys have to say about that.
Appreciate the phone call.
That's a good point. Play the young guys, see what you have. But look, I just say winning is never a bad thing. Reinforcement for what you're trying to do in terms of changing the culture and changing the attitude. And I think most important, changing the perception of your franchise around the league by winning. It only comes by winning. So at some point, you have to break through. And that's, you know, it's my one pet peeve. I'm a baseball nut too, but it's my one pet peeve when people keep talking about, oh, but they got a better guy in the minors. You're not winning in the minors. You win in the majors. You win in the bigs. And look, building for the future can be sometimes the most overrated thing. At some point, the future morphs into the present, and you go for it, and you take your shot. You can't keep always thinking about, the future and the build and the next and the next. There are times when it's prudent and you have to pay attention to it, but you can't let that drive the way you run your franchise. I just think it's never a bad thing to win.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, Star 590 on your cell. We'll get some reaction a little bit later on from the locker room and find out how the guys are feeling after this one. We already talked to James Johnson, who finished the ball game in just under 30 minutes of action with 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Solid outing, filling up the stat sheet all over the place was the repo man. 21 points for DeMar DeRozan, leading all scorers. Calderon, 17 points, 14 assists, 0 turnovers, and outplaying Rondo all evening. Back to the calls. Jason in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good, Jason.
Yeah, I just want to tell all the Raptor fans out there that, you know, it's only one game. They got to calm down because, you know, we caught Boston on a back-to-back after going to overtime against the Lakers. So I think, you know, it was more tired legs on Boston's part than Toronto coming out there with, you know, they needed the win, so I guess, you know, they did what they had to do. But my question for you guys is going forward in the future for the Raptors, do you see this team, are they going to be able to build by a star by committee like, say, a Denver or a Portland, where they don't really necessarily need to have that one go-to guy, but they're able to be deep at every position, too deep? Or do they need to find that one guy who's, you know, who demands the ball in the clutch and who's their go-to guy?
That's a great question. Jason, first of all, to your point, initial point, that's what we're going to see in this year's NBA. You know, Boston, the tired legs, like we said on the broadcast, they got in here at 3 o'clock in the morning. Some of the guys said that, you know, when they hit the pillow, it was after 4. That's going to be the, you know, the standard, the normal kind of, you know, standard for this NBA.
Well, and Jason's not wrong in saying that, Jonesy, yeah. But at the same time, every team in the league
has to do it,
has gone through it, will go through it again,
yeah.
As has Toronto. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for the Celtics when the Raptors have, you know, how many times have we put our head down on the pillow at 3:30, 4 o'clock? We're
lots.
On the same team, or excuse me, we're on the same plane with the team doing the exact same thing as the Toronto Raptors are. So, I mean, it's the same situation, and it goes around, comes around for every team in the league right now.
Yeah, and to your point, Jason, I think there are teams like Philadelphia, Indiana, Denver, proving that you can play as a team and not have a, you know, a beauty queen for a star and still play well. Still remains to be seen what happens come playoff time with those teams, but that's got to be part of your formula if you can't get a guy. I mean, there are only so many Chris Pauls and Carmelo Anthonys and Dwight Howard. There are only so many teams with a guy like that. You've got to do it by committee, and I go back to the Pistons back in the day in 03, 04. We come to find out there were some really good players, but while they were putting it together, they played together as a team, and I think that's the way Toronto has to look at it right now until they attract one guy.
Let's go to Michael in Toronto. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. I just tuned you in for the first time in a while. I haven't really been following the Raptors for a while because I've been bummed by their bad record. I just want to, you guys talked about Jeremy Lin and how you got to be real with him. Well, let's be real with the Raptors here for a second. I mean, they're nowhere near the playoffs, well, relatively speaking. They're sitting in 12th, 11th, 12th. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. Why are we trying to win games today?
Well, you know what? You're missing my point.
Yeah.
Winning is never bad. When you're trying to change the culture and Dwayne Casey's instilling defensive principles, and you've got to have some reinforcement. It's like a kid.
The potential of this year's draft. I mean, you have 3 or 4 or 5.
So what? Not show up? Players. Not show up?
Jared Sullinger, Anthony Davis. These guys could turn around the Raptors franchise.
Absolutely, but
Andre
but
Drummond.
There's a reason why it's called a lottery, because when it first started, there were teams tanking. The Houston Rockets back in the day when Ralph Sampson was of draft eligibility with the lose more for 7'4". Only I can count on one hand the number of times the team with the worst record has got the first pick. You can't count on that. Heck,
we
you
don't
can
need the first pick, though. We need one of the top 5 picks. If we're near the bottom, we're going to get one of those top 5 picks because there's 4 or 5 big men in coming in this draft that will make a huge difference.
Absolutely. But you don't play to lose. You play to win the game, in the words of Herman Edwards. And you can't go into that locker room and tell pro athletes to purposely, don't worry about it, it's okay to lose. That's not the mentality they have. And as much as people have this idea of, you know, tanking and getting a draft pick, look down the list of veterans. Those guys are not playing for that. As much as people want that, and if it happens, great, but it's not something that should be an objective, because winning is part of changing the culture. Even in incremental steps, you need to win.
I agree with you, Jones. And Michael, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for tuning back in. And you mentioned because you haven't called in a while or listened even in a while, perhaps you haven't heard us say this, so it'll be somewhat repetitive for those that have been listening regularly. But you think about the fact that the Boston Celtics, Jonesy, when they were down under 25 wins and they were looking like they were going to get the number one pick, or at least hoping to, and they were taking Greg Oden, period. They end up slipping down to 5. They don't get the number one pick. They don't get the next great big man in Boston Celtics history. And it works out perfectly for them, because what would have happened to the Celtics if they did get number one and they did take Oden? Instead, they go out, make shrewd moves, they get Allen, they get KG, they turn the franchise around. There are absolutely no guarantees. Even the Cavaliers last year, the number one pick they got was because of the trade they made with the Clippers, and the ball's bouncing their way because of the LA Clippers, not because of where they stood last year with their own record. Their record actually got them the fourth pick. Yeah, it still right. turned out well that they got 1-4, two top five picks, but it was the Clippers that gave them the number one pick. So you never know. And my last point on this as well, which I've said ad nauseum, if you, as a Raptor fan, ask yourself, the two biggest stars in franchise history, Vince Carter and Chris Bosh, why did they leave? What was the number one reason why, after three quarters of a decade, each guy wanted to go?
No chance to win.
Because they didn't have a chance to win. They wanted an opportunity to win more. They wanted an opportunity to get to the postseason. They wanted an opportunity to one day maybe have a chance at a championship. And you're playing a dangerous game with DeMar DeRozan or Ed Davis or even Valanciunas coming next year if you continue to struggle and lose year after year after year because you simply think you're going to get better with young guys and just stockpiling draft picks. Jonesy, Minnesota, I know you love going off on this one, has how many top 10 picks? How many lottery picks on their team?
And they might be good. Just above 500
They might be good and trying to get better, but as you say, they're just above 500. And how many years has it taken them to get just above 500? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll continue with your phone calls in mere moments on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you, broadcasting live from the Real Sports Apparel Store, right across the hall, basically, from Real Sports Bar and Grill, so you can't miss us. We're the dudes like fish in a big old aquarium, standing behind the glass. Make sure you come on by and say hi when you're maybe heading in for a frosty beverage or heading home from the game. Stop in and check us out at Real Sports Apparel Store. We're here after most home games. We didn't have a lot of appearances early in the season because the Raptors had a whole lot of not only road games, but back-to-backs following home games, much like we're talking about letting the Celtics off the hook. Oh, they're tired. Well, no. Toronto, New York, Boston, Memphis, you name it, insert team here. Every team has and will continue to go through back-to-backs and back-to-back-to-backs over the course of this very compressed 66 games in 120 days schedule. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell.
Eric, we were looking during the break at that draft that produced Kevin Durant, because everybody seems fixated on the fact that Oden went one and nothing happened.
Right.
Durant went two and Oklahoma City has a star. Well, look down the rest of the draft. Number three, Al Horford, terrific player. Good piece in Atlanta. Not a franchise changer. He wasn't Derrick Rose the next year. He wasn't Kevin Durant that was drafted right in front of him. The next guy, Mike Conley Jr. Good player. Remember, now he is. Remember what the start of his career was like?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Iveroni lost his job because they thought Mike Conley could play, and he couldn't. He was injured. Jeff Green, jury's still out. I mean, he's not even playing this year. Ejion Leon has bounced around the league. Corey Brewer, what, 5 years later now, just kind of getting his legs
As a piece.
As a piece, yeah, on the team, on a good team with Denver. Brandon Wright?
Yeah.
He's been on three, four teams already. The next guy, again, Joakim Noah.
Him and Horford are the two guys that stand out right now.
Nice piece. Look at that Spencer Hawes. Bounced around years later. Nice piece. If you
AC
think,
Law, Julian Wright, Thornton.
I'm not even going to go down the rest of the list. Thaddeus Young, a great pick by Ed Stefanski. Let's put this in perspective, though. If you think you're going to get a LeBron or a Kevin Durant or a Derrick Rose out of every draft, there's one guy, and you might have a shot for one guy. And the winning now is good for the team's confidence, and I think it keeps people engaged. It tells them you're doing the right thing in terms of changing the culture. See, it works a little bit.
Now, I'm agreeing with you, but to speak for some of the folks that I'm sure are listening right now and wanting to hammer at you, and they're welcome, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. There are some, though, Jonesy, that right now would be saying, well, hold on. We think, though, that this draft has a chance to be like the LeBron, Wade, Bosch draft. And they look at it and say, Sullinger and Davis and Barnes could all be franchise guys, potential franchise changers, and that's why I think some people, and again, I'm buying into your theory more so than the one I'm speaking of right now, but there are many that believe that this is the draft that has so many studs that there will be a ton of franchise guys. And Jonesy, to that point, what actually potentially could hurt the Raptors, for lack of a better term, or maybe not help the Raptors, at least in terms of their decision-making, is that Amir Johnson and Ed Davis aren't franchise changers, but they're good depth pieces in your front court. Is Andrea Bargnani a franchise changer? Well, he was headed towards what we thought might be an all-star game this year if he stayed healthy. Valanciunas, by all accounts, is a guy that could be a very good player at the NBA level, and he is coming in as a top five pick. So the Raptors, dare I say, have got four pieces, at least three, already in their front court. So are they going to go the route of a Sullinger or a Davis and go big, or might they be forced to go smaller and find their wing guy in Barnes, or try to uncover some sort of guard that at least at this point on February 10th doesn't even seem to exist in the top 15 based on projections.
Yeah.
I mean, the bulk of the talent in this coming draft is at the center and power forward position. You just address the center, or so you think and hope, with Valanciunas, and you've already got at the four, Bargnani, Davis, Johnson. Do you go with another four or five in this four and five stack draft? It's almost a, it's not quite a losing situation, but it's not playing into their hand with multiple positions at high, deep draft positions. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, Eric.
And that's why, to me, it makes it even more of a crapshoot based on the needs of this team. And here we are on February 10th talking about, depending on how things play out in June, are you drafting for need or are you drafting for best player?
I'm looking at this 2003 draft that everybody is going gaga over because it did produce some good players. LeBron 1, Carmelo 3, Bosch 4, Wade 5. Then we're done. Then we're done. I mean, there were some good players.
Yeah, like Kamen's good. Heinrich's good.
Michael Sweetney's not in the league.
He's done.
Jarvis Hayes. Petrus is bounced around, but he's a good piece.
Collison is a piece. Then you got Marcus Banks, Luke Ridnour, Reese Gaines, Troy Bell. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I buy the Jonesy theory.
Well,
don't worry, Jonesy.
Look, I'm old, okay? So get off my lawn. I know what I'm talking about.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Matt in Richmond Hill, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Matt.
Jonesy, I couldn't disagree more. And I'll tell you, Eric sort of made the points for many of us. You get the highest pick possible. You can always trade down one of the big guys and get a Barnes fourth or fifth. What worries me is I've seen if we slip down, we're not going to make the playoffs. But even by some miracle, if we did, what's the point of getting killed in the first round? I want this team to be good for many years. And but every basketball expert that I've read said it's the best draft since what you just referenced, the LeBron, Bosch draft, Wade draft. So, it, you know, it's not the best player in the history of the game has been quoted as basically saying that's what he's going for, Jordan.
I mean, well, Jordan, he's got no choice with his team.
I'm saying, but if he could play the rookies and the D-League guys, he would. Now, we can't tank it. None of us are idiots. Jonesy, you're right. This brings me back to the beginning of the year. What in the world didn't we play? Why didn't we have Triano coach this year on the last year? What was the point of bringing in a new coach knowing how deep this draft was? Let me tell you something. I have season tickets, just like you, Jonesy.
And me.
And you. You know why I kept them this year? Because of what Colangelo said. He goes, you know what? This is a rebuilding year. I said, fine. I'm willing to do it. But then I didn't understand bringing in a new coach who wants to be coach of the year. He's going to coach every game like it's the last game. I mean, you guys are at the games. He's taking timeouts. We're down by 14 with 30 seconds to go.
Because he's still teaching.
But this is not the year to be doing this. We should have had the coach coming in next year.
Well, then, you know what? You go tell Dwayne Casey that, because that guy is from winning stock, and he only knows one way. And maybe that's your point is valid if you look at it that way, but you can't tell these guys to go out there and not try to win.
Here's what I would do. You have Barbosa last year. He's not really helping, to be frank with you. But if there's an offer for him, you take it.
And do what? Hold on a second. Matt, hold on. You do that and you trade him. Are you going to take on salary? Because that's $7 million to spend at the end of the year.
I would only take a draft pick. I would not compromise the spending value next year. That's the whole point is to get a good young player or move down and get another pick, because I agree with you. It's top heavy. We don't need the big man. But you can get a Barnes fifth. What's wrong with picking second, getting a huge asset to move down three spots?
There's nothing wrong if that's the way it plays out, Matt. But I'm not throwing my guys under the bus or breaking spirits and creating a losing mentality and a losing perception around the league.
But
the best way to put it, Matt, is you need the occasional win to keep people engaged and keep the confidence level at the right spot just enough to keep moving forward and for people not to throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, well, this is useless.
We're actually going to see a very quick attitude change if this team starts getting into the 9th, 10th pick overall and not making the playoffs. You're going to see your calls favoring much more to what you're hearing tonight, because people are going to say, this is no disrespect to Ed Davis or DeRozan, but what do we have with him? With 9th pick overall. We don't know. You have a hell of a better chance to know with top 3, 4, 5. That's the problem. That's the history. Yes, Oden was injured, but who the heck knew this would be the case? Big men are susceptible to these kinds of injuries, unfortunately. He won't be the first big that has this. But the law of averages says you're way better off picking there than you are, unfortunately, 9th or 10th. I don't know. I mean, I thought Ed Davis would be doing more than he's doing.
Well, he was the steal of the draft last year, and he hasn't been this year by any means.
Point. We don't know, but you have a better chance. Again, we can't change where we are now. We can't tank where we are. I get it. I'm just looking at the overall.
But, Matt, on the other hand, you can't stop playing either. That's the other part of it.
I get that, Jonesy.
Okay.
I'm not an idiot. These are pros. They have to play. And I can't cheer against them either. But I'm thinking to myself, geez, Boston. I mean, this is not a win I penciled in. And, you know, and I'm a ticket holder.
Well, hey, was Milwaukee a win that you penciled in, Matt?
I did
because they played the
okay, so you still won one and lost one.
That's what we actually did. A couple of buddies of mine today, we said we're still in the same boat. Anyways, guys, keep up the great work.
All right, Matt.
We listen and we love you guys. Ciao.
All right, Matt. Appreciate
Thanks,
the call.
Matt. Thanks, Matt.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll continue with your calls after the 40 Sports update. We're going to head inside the Raptors locker room as well and grab some of your calls and have some of the comments, from the players after the 86-74 victory over the Boston Celtics. It's the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. 86-74, the Raptors beating the Boston Celtics tonight. And one night after beating the Celtics in Boston, the L.A. Lakers are about to lose in New York.
To the Jeremy Lins.
Linsanity going crazier than it has in the previous three games. In game number 4, Lin with 38 points, 7 assists, 6 turnovers, 4 rebounds. Linsanity going off for 38. 6 seconds left in the game, and the Knicks are about to win by 6. Jeremy Lin is on fuego.
Get your tickets now, folks. Linsanity comes to the Air Canada Center next week.
On Valentine's Day, right?
Oh, just the...
It's going to be a love-in, literally.
A love-lin.
Oh, Jonesy, a Loveland.
Oh, enough.
All right.
I'm making myself throw
it's
up.
Valentine's Day.
I like the one that Cooper and Ennis had. Madeline Square Garden.
Madeline Square Gardens. We could stay here all night doing this stuff.
But I like the tweet from our man, Adrian Wojnarowski. How did Harvard ever lose?
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. I can't imagine at some point, either tonight or Sunday or next Tuesday, we won't get a phone call from somebody saying, why didn't the Raptors get Jeremy Lin? It's got to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Steve in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Good, Steve.
Hey, Jonesy, this is Steve Ciuta, your old high school buddy.
Oh, hey, Steve. How are you, man?
I had to say something. You know, everybody that comes to a game does not want to come to see the team lose. Everybody pays the same money at the start of the year or at the end of the year. Nobody wants to see the team lose. I don't. I hate when the team loses. You know, they can't tank.
Yeah, and that's, Steve, that is a point. I mean, Eric and I are around the team a lot. They're pro athletes. They want to win. They don't see themselves as, well, you know, we'll play for next year and it's okay if we lose.
But a lot of these guys, too, are playing for next year, too. You
know? Absolutely.
You can't ask them to tank the season. They're going to look bad to other GMs. Like, why does this guy want to lose? Nobody wants to lose. Nobody, you know, in anything. Everybody is competitive. You know, in every sport, everything. Everybody wants to win, plain and simple. I think, anyways, that, you know.
You're right on, Steve. Thanks for the call. And that's, look, the thing that we talked about before is you need the odd win thrown in there, you know, to keep people engaged, to keep the ship moving in the right direction, to show that the things that you are doing and trying to change, they work. There's reinforcement by the odd win here and there. People said, well, you know, they shouldn't have won against Boston. Well, maybe, as Matt, one of our earlier callers said, the win was supposed to come over Milwaukee and not Boston. Still, you're right where you should have been if you win one and you lose one. I mean, they got the Lakers coming in here on Sunday. That's Kobe Bryant for the one time. The sense of professional pride with these guys is not going to say, oh, I'm going to lay down and roll over and let, you know, Kobe score like 95 and you know, lose like 162 to 140.
How about 81?
Yeah, well, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. So people need to deal with that. They're professional athletes. They're going to try hard. And you take what you get in the draft. And this is not, you know, the strongest team in the world. But you do need the odd win to keep them engaged.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll continue with your phone calls right up until 11 o'clock, but another 15 minutes. We're going to try and get some reaction from the locker room as well. It has gone final in New York. The Knicks have now won four in a row with Jeremy Lin leading the charge in all four of those games. The Knicks beat the Lakers 92-85. Jeremy Lin with 38 points in that ball game. 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and Lin does it again. Back to the calls. Raptors beating the Celtics 86-74. Doug in Scarborough. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Doug?
I know he's had a wonderful week. The Raptors had multiple opportunities where they could have went out, and it's in a year where we're rebuilding. I don't understand why Anthony Carter is at the point. Gary Forbes is at the point. They could have got Jeremy Lin on two occasions, and both five. Even if it's for marketing reasons, you get him for marketing reasons. It doesn't matter. He's playing out of his mind, and you have Anthony Carter out there on the floor. He could have picked him up on two occasions, and this is a situation where pro scouting for the Raptor team, it's failed multiple times, and I just don't understand why we keep giving Brian Colangelo and his staff passes on this. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how a guy's going out there getting 40 points.
Now, Doug,
to pick him up, you can never do it.
Let me just jump in for one second, Jonesy. One second. I'm hearing you, Doug. I'm hearing you, okay? He's gone for 25, 28, 23, and now 38 in the four games. But let me ask you, in the previous games that he was in a Knick uniform this season, when he wasn't down in the D-League, all right, he played in eight games. Actually, check that. I believe it might have been seven. He played no more than 20 minutes. In fact, he played six or less in seven of those eight games. Tell me, hold on a second, hold on. No, hold on. What did you see in those 8 games or those 8 appearances, let alone in the 28 or 29 he had last year in Golden State, that led you to believe that this is a guy that the Raptors, let alone the Grizzlies or the Knicks or the Lakers or anybody else, should go out and sign that guy specifically?
Listen, last year when he was with Golden State, I remember he came into the game in the second quarter, I believe. Jose Calderon, fine. You could say El Matador defense, whatever. He came in there, lit him up for 7 points right off the bat. Changed the complexion of the game within that 4-minute period stretch. You've seen it in stretches in Golden State, okay? But this is a rebuilding year. What I'm getting at is it's a rebuilding year. Why aren't you going to take a flyer on a kid as opposed to having Anthony Carter, who is 36, 37 years old? You've seen what he's doing out there with a day of rest. Haven't played in probably a week. He's still coughing the ball up all over the place. Veteran experience, okay, fine. You know, that's some kind of point.
All right, let me
make any sense.
Let me ask you this, okay? Let me ask you this. If you think the Raptors were the only team that missed with their pro scouting, you can add 27 others in there because Golden State had him and cut him. Hold on a second. So he plays well. How much money are you going to pay him? How much cap room is I'm just asking.
You don't have to pay him anything.
Well, wait a minute.
If you get him over the course of the season, then you figure out at the end of the season what you have to pay him. Could you beat Calderon for a spot today? I think for sure he could.
Could he beat Bayless for a spot right now?
Absolutely.
Jose Calderon just went for 17 points, 14 assists, and no turnovers against Rajon Rondo.
In the two games on the back-to-back, what he went over 8 points and 7 assists and 7 turnovers total? I mean, Jose Calderon's off and on. You guys know that. 4 years you've had him here, signed to full-time. He's not a full-time starting point guard. Doesn't matter which way you cut it.
But Jeremy Lin's that much better? Really? After 4 games?
22,
after 4 games, you're going to tell me that.
At 22, 23 years old, would you rather have Jeremy Lin starting point guard right now or Jose Calderon?
I don't know right now. Depends on where you're going.
Well, where
depends on where you're going.
Who would you rather have? Where the Raptors are going, who would you rather have?
I think you're going to lose more games in that case.
Who cares if you lose more games in that case? You're rebuilding.
Well, hold on a second. We go back to the argument again where I need a few wins to keep my team engaged, to keep my coaching staff engaged, to keep myself in terms of perception in the league, not being a joke. I need some wins here and there.
Why would you be a joke if the guy's putting up 30 a night when you don't have your top scorer in the game? Fine, he might not be putting it up with the Raptors, but even if it's 15, 16, 8 assists, better production than what Calderon is giving you, you combine that with Bayless, and you've got something there at the point guard position. You're not looking at it as, okay, fine, we got to go draft a point guard. I mean, there was an article the other day about Ryan Colangelo 2 years ago. He didn't feel like point guard was a need, so they drafted by need and got a swing man. And DeRozan, a quasi-bust. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Every time they go out and do something, it's like, we got to address the need. But you got to get the best player you can find, and you might as well have taken a flyer on a guy like Lin.
It would have been a flyer, and had it gone down, thanks for the call, had it gone down, people would have been all over as a wasted pick, that spot could have gone to something else. I'm just saying, if you pick him and he starts to play well and he wants to get paid and you don't have that money in the budget for him because you've got other things or other players that you feel might be better that have a more proven body of work and you let him go, now what happens? I mean, we could go in circles on this. Hey, he's playing well right now. Let's give him his due. But 5 games does not a career make.
Well, it's even 4 right now.
No.
We'll see if we can grab a little bit of tape right now here, if we've got a little bit of time. I know we've only
got Jeremy Lin? We got some Jeremy Lin tape?
Well, we can probably find some. Okay. We can find some. Let's hear from Amir Johnson after the ballgame. Amir went for the double-double, 12 points, 12 rebounds. He was a big part of the Raptors' 86-74 victory over the Boston Celtics. So let's see if we can hear some of those post-game comments from the Raptors' locker room, Amir Johnson.
Punches at you, but you come back, you withstand it, and you swing some of your own.
We just, came in halftime and just, made up our mind and said we're not going to give up this lead. We kept fighting.
How much was it a point to sort of run at them early, knowing what they had been through the night before?
It was big. We know they had a back-to-back in the Laker game. We all watched the game, and our strategy was to come in and just go ahead and hit them in the mouth.
When you're playing a team like the Celtics and Kevin Garnett, it's almost like there's 2 games, the physical game and the mental game, the emotional game. How important was it for you to stay tough with guys like that?
It's big. He's one of the guys I definitely have to stay aggressive and, get at him early. So, it's real big early in the game.
In the fourth quarter, what was he bringing you? Like, did he turn it up again in the fourth quarter?
I think they did. They slacked during the first quarter. You know, they called a couple timeouts. I think the coach kind of got in the head, but they definitely picked it up, you know. But we actually picked it up, too.
But KG in particular in the fourth quarter, you were on him for most of the quarter. Did you notice a big difference?
I think so. You know, I just kind of stayed aggressive myself. You know, I stayed on him, you know. I was talking back, you know, so I stayed on.
Is this as much of a statement win for you guys as it can be at this point?
This is just a good win. You know, we got another tough one coming in on Sunday. We got the Lakers, so, you know, it's just a good win for us, and we're going to move on to the next one.
Is this the one? Like, I mean, Boston's had your number, obviously, in the last couple of years.
Oh, it definitely is a good win. Like I said, you know, they've been beating us all season, so it is definitely good. It feels good to hit them back and beat them. But we got another one.
DeMar put together another solid effort. Seems that he seems to be getting that consistency back now. Is there something that you see or you notice on the nights when he's playing well that he, you know, brings?
He's been good. You know, he's starting to be more aggressive. I think his driving more is really helping his jump shot better. You know, he gets a couple layups and he gets that jumper going. You know, he's unstoppable. So he's doing pretty good for us.
How infectious is that on the rest of the guys when you see him hitting his shots and you see him, you know, playing aggressive?
He's
very assertive.
It's big. You know, everybody gets everybody going. You know, when Jose gets going too, James Johnson, you know, everybody feeds off each other. So when he get going, you know, it was unstoppable. We had, 26 assists tonight. You know, everybody passed the ball. It gets everybody going.
Like working alongside Aaron there, it's not a lineup we've seen too often.
Absolutely, you know, out of the both of us, what we had about 20 some rebounds, so it was good for us just to get on the boards and dominate.
Coaches always talk about the importance of bringing that 48-minute effort. Is this the best 48-minute effort this team's had this season?
It is. I definitely think it is. You know, we played throughout the whole quarter. We had no letdowns. You know, we basically kept the lead the whole game. So it was I think it's the best 48 minutes we played all season.
There is Amir Johnson of the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors beating the Celtics tonight, 86-74, the final. And the Raptors will then get set for the L.A. Lakers coming up on Sunday, 12:30 pregame show, 1 o'clock tip right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. Thanks to the crew here at the ACC and back at Raptors Central as well. Again, tune in 12:30 Sunday, 1 o'clock tip, 12:30 pregame, Raptors and Lakers. 86-74, Raptors over the Celtics. It's been Toronto Raptors basketball and the Rap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.